Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Idea Park, a new media agency nurturing online relationships between you and your most valuable customers. Online at ideapark.com.
Hitting the ground running.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Brian Watt. Let's hope Alan Mulally doesn't pull up to the board meeting today in his Lexus. Mulally is the new CEO of the Ford Motor Company, and he's got his work cut out for him. Today, the board of the struggling automaker is expected to discuss another phase of a massive restructuring plan. Sarah Gardner looks at what might be coming next.
Ford has already announced 14 plant closings and the elimination of 34,000 jobs, but the company's still bleeding money, and Wall Street's pushing for more drastic measures. Auto industry watcher John McElroy expects Ford will idle factories sooner, cut more jobs, and make buyout offers to all hourly workers, just like GM did.
The only thing that will be on the positive side will come some years down the road when Ford gets this massive restructuring cost out of the way and emerges with fewer employees and younger employees.
Ford will eventually cut products, too, not just people. David Cole at Michigan's Center for Automotive Research says goodbye minivans, hello smaller cars.
The day of Ford trying to be all things to all people is probably over.
Ford's North American operations lost $1.6 billion last year. Bigger losses are expected for 2006. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
The slope just gets more slippery for BP. The oil company says it's now got about 1,000 barrels of gas oil to clean up in the port of Long Beach, California. The leak was discovered last Friday morning. BP says it's now contained and that none of the oil has seeped into the ocean. Separately, federal regulators warn the oil giant that it must prove that any temporary fix to its pipeline in Alaska can be made without risk to the environment. Oil companies seem to keep slipping through the fingers of the Interior Department. Its job is to collect royalties from them, and it's struggling when it comes to certain oil deals made in the past. And now comes word the problem still may not be fixed for current agreements. It's the topic of a congressional hearing today. Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
When oil prices are low, Uncle Sam cuts energy companies a break. They're excused from paying royalties to the government. That incentive is meant to expire when prices rise. But the Interior Department left out the expiration part in key contracts in the 90s, and that shortchanged the feds by some $10 billion. Today's hearing will focus on an in-house audit at Interior and whether the department is still giving industry-friendly deals today. Eric Pica is with Friends of the Earth.
What we've seen over the last 10 years or more is this culture of incompetence or culture of coziness with the oil companies, and they're not monitoring royalty payments that these companies have to pay for the oil they drill from public lands.
The New York Times reports that royalty waivers may still be part of brand new contracts, even though a barrel of crude goes for $60 plus. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Oil prices are down to their lowest levels since late March. That had investors ready to buy yesterday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average ratcheted up 101 points or 0.8%. The Nasdaq was up 42 points. That's nearly 2%. And this is Marketplace. Around the country today, Atlanta is giving Hollywood another reason to worry about runaway production. Writer-actor Tyler Perry has opened its very own movie studio there. The star of Madea's Family Reunion plans to shoot 100 episodes of his syndicated sitcom there, as well as his next two films. And from California's Central Valley, hard times for tapenade lovers lie ahead. Thanks to extreme weather in the past year, the California olive harvest is projected to be the smallest in 25 years. The olive stockpile, yes, there is an olive stockpile, should cover the olive needs for the next 11 months or so. From Bend, Oregon, a developer has begun construction on a neighborhood he's calling the Shire. Although it's got an old English feel, it's not exactly like the Shire from The Lord of the Rings. The homes are human-sized, and the prices are today-sized. About $550,000. This is American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by SHRM's new book, The New American Workplace, presenting a look at the hot-button issues that define work in the U.S. More at shrm.org. And by Mellon Financial Corporation. helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
This is Marketplace. I'm Brian Watt. The first trial in the fraud scandal surrounding lobbyist Jack Abramoff resulted in a conviction back in June. David Safavian was back in court yesterday, where he found out his conviction for obstruction and making false statements about his relationship with Abramoff would not be overturned. He faces up to 5 years in prison for each count against him. Republican congressional leaders this week launched efforts to garner support for a new proposed House rule that would require more information to be made public about the origins of special appropriation set-asides known as earmarks. But commentator Robert Reich argues the proposal under consideration doesn't go far enough.
The number of registered lobbyists in Washington has ballooned to the point where there are over 60 of them for every single member of Congress. And they spent $2.4 billion last year. What do you think the lobbyists bought with all that money? A lot of it's called earmarks, special spending that's stuck into pieces of legislation to benefit particular constituents, like that Alaskan Bridge to Nowhere in last year's highway bill, and the special casino licenses that got lobbyist Jack Abramoff into trouble. 10 years ago, there were about 3,000 earmarks. Last year, there were over 14,000, costing taxpayers over $47 billion, according to the Congressional Research Service. Last January, after the Jack Abramoff scandal had spread to former House Whip Tom DeLay and Ohio Republican Bob Ney, and after FBI agents found an unexplained $90,000 cash in the freezer of Louisiana Democrat William Jefferson, and after California Republican Duke Cunningham pleaded guilty to bribery, after all that, it seemed like the House was so embarrassed it would clean itself up. At least that's what Speaker Dennis Hastert promised. Well, think again. Last spring, the House passed a wimpy bill that barely touched earmarks and didn't even ban gifts and meals from lobbyists. And even that bill is now stalled somewhere between the House and the Senate. With the midterm elections less than 2 months away, House leaders are feeling a little bit of heat. So their latest idea is to require, by House rules, that legislation containing earmarks list members of Congress who sponsored them. That's not reform. That's advertising. There's no mystery about who sponsors which earmark. Just look at whose district the earmark money will go to. The only meaningful reform is to ban all earmarks, period. They're taxpayer ripoffs. They amount to bribery. And if this Congress won't clean up its act, we should clean up Congress and throw the rascals out.
Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich now teaches public policy at the University of California at Berkeley. In Los Angeles, I'm Brian Watt. Thanks for joining us, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
Quiz time. What's more expensive?
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.